morning we light the fourth Advent candle. We live on the brink every day. We stand on the threshold between this world and the next one. We live and move between the ordinary and the divine, between the mundane and the mystery. Too often, we forget to look up and see the angels in our living room. We forget that the love we give and live is a sign of eternity, a sign of God with us right now.
Luke tells us that God's favor came to a girl, an ordinary girl. It might have been you or your daughter. It might have been the girl down the street or your grandchild. But the messenger of God came and greeted her and said, "The Lord is with you." What a gift and a promise. Emmanuel, God is with us.
We light these candles with peace in our hearts for the promise of proximity, the nearness of God. Even when we forget to listen, God is as close as our own breath. This, in a confused and confusing world, is a peace that passes all understanding. We light these candles because love has come as Emmanuel, God with us.
Now, if we'll all stand and join together in singing the hymn, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." The first set of scripture I'll be reading this morning is from Luke 2, verses 1 through 7. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. David, which is called, or to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And now we'll have some music ministry from the Bell Choir.
See you back again, and glad that Dad got over everything and he's doing well now. Good to see that. And last Sunday, Isaiah and Abby, you sang some songs for us last Sunday, didn't you? Okay. And they were really nice. I really liked those songs. And I was wondering, do you have a favorite Christmas song or Christmas carol? Anybody have a favorite? What's yours, Abby? Jingle Bells. Okay. I bet you picked that one for last week, didn't you? Yeah, okay. Anybody else have a favorite? I have lots of favorites. This time of year, I'm listening to a lot of the one radio station plays Christmas music the whole time, so I have that radio station all the time, especially when I'm driving in the car and listening to some of that music. And the one song I heard this week, it's a real familiar one, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. You know that one? You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town, right? Okay. Well, it got me thinking, because one of the scriptures that Kim's going to read in a few moments talks about Jesus coming to town. Okay. Just a few words from the verse. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. There's another way that verse is written sometimes, but I'll get to that one in just a little bit. But I thought, you know what? We should sing about Jesus coming to town. So I took the tune of Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and I put some new words to it. And maybe if Greg back there would put those words up on the screen, Hopefully we'll be able to see them, okay? And it goes something like this, okay? So you sang for me last Sunday. This Sunday I'm going to sing for you, okay? Here we go. I'll see how I do. Wipe away your tears, get rid of your fears. Here's the best news that's been given in years. Jesus Christ is coming to town. He's walking with us right here in Myerstown. We're all his children, so please don't frown. Jesus Christ is coming to town. He loves you when you're sleeping. He loves you when you're awake. He loves you when you're bad or good, so be good for Jesus' sake. Now put on a smile, get rid of that frown. Spread the good news all around the town. Jesus Christ is coming to town. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus is coming to town. Now, he came to town a long time ago, but he actually came as a baby. We know that. And he grew up and he lived just like we do, okay? He was your age at one time and learning some of the things that you're learning today too. And because Jesus came and lived in the town, lived with us, the one version of this scripture says, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Jesus moved into our neighborhood. And he lives with us today, too. Now, we don't see him, but he lives here. He lives in our hearts. And because he came and lived like you and like me, he knows everything we go through. And like I said in the song, we don't have to fear. We don't have to frown because Jesus has come to town. Let's say a prayer. God, thank you that you sent Jesus to Myerstown and to this world. That we thank you that he came to live among us and just experience all the same things that we experience. And because he did, we know that we can always go to him and we can always trust him. Bless these children, I pray, in his name. Amen. You can go to Children's Church. Okay? Thank you.
Let's sing together,
Away in a Manger, and we'll stand and sing.
If you'll bow your heads in prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, as we draw ever closer to Christmas Day, may our hearts be in tune with the true meaning of the season, the deliverance of a Savior. May our hearts be filled with love, joy, kindness, well-being, and well, you, Jesus, not only now, but also in the year to come. Be with those who are sick and struggling at this time. Lay a comforting hand on them. Lord, we give you our love and our praise for all you do and for us and for the blessings you have so graciously given to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And now for the scripture from John 1, verses 14 through 15. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.
God has asked, I am nothing.
Oh, child.
A husband has been chosen for me. How was he to believe this?
Do you know how much disgrace you have brought upon yourself, upon Joseph, Mary?
I have broken no vow.
Women have been put to death for this.
You believe me?
Yes, the angel came to me in my dreaming.
In the name of King Herod and the Almighty Caesar, each man will return to the land of his ancestors.
I must travel to Bethlehem.
I'm going with my husband. How do I raise such a child?
I wonder if I will even be able to teach him anything.
That last comment of Joseph, I wonder if I'll be able to teach him anything. Do you think Mary and Joseph were afraid? You know, when you consider that what they were experiencing, I think most likely they were. After all, they were probably, as we saw in the video there, being shunned by their community, maybe even rejected by their families and their friends. They were poor. And of course, the unusual and totally unexpected nature of the pregnancy, along with some of the physical hardship that they endured, like a 75-mile journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem in the ninth month of Mary's pregnancy, as well as the normal fears of first-time parents. And add to all that the fact that Mary was carrying Jesus, the Messiah, God's Son. Do you think maybe that just put a little extra pressure on her? Do you think maybe she felt just a little intimidated by it all? You know, we glamorize their story, but I have a feeling it was anything but glamorous. Most likely it was downright frightening. Considering the experience of Mary and Joseph, anything that we might fear almost seems trivial. What about you? Do you have any fears? Well, I can't speak for you, but I turned 70 this year, and I find that I've started thinking about things like, will I experience dementia? I forgot something. Does that mean it's beginning the long slope into dementia? I don't know. Why do I have these aches and pains that I never had before? What kind of quality of life will I have in these last years of my life? And today, I mean, there are many people, us, maybe some of us included, who live in fear of because of the effects of the pandemic. Those who have lost their businesses, their jobs. Those who are having to face hunger and eviction and homelessness and loneliness. All of that on top of the possibility of contracting the virus. Scripture often speaks of the fear of God, of fearing God. Now, most often, I think what Scripture means when they tell us to be in fear of God is to be respect, love, and to be in awe of God. But especially in those ancient pagan religions, they often pictured gods as fearsome creatures, Ancient Greek mythology pictured gods like Zeus throwing lightning bolts down on a helpless humanity. And in the Judaism into which Jesus was born, there was embedded also within that an element of fear. Poverty and disease were thought to be a sign of God's punishment. Good Jews were expected to obey God's law and make the sacrifices to stay in God's good graces. One had to do all the right things for fear of alienating oneself from God. And there are people today who view God as a manipulative, remote, up there somewhere, unconcerned God, unconcerned about humanity and creation. Some still believe they have to be good enough to be acceptable to God. And some, well, they just completely ignore the whole notion of God. But as I said last Sunday, whatever anyone might think about God does not change the fact that God has acted in sending Jesus into the world and has given us a gift that requires our response. God has revealed himself in Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. As Kim read, the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Here is one of the central truths and mysteries of our Christian faith. God in Jesus Christ became human and lived among us, fully God and fully man. The theological term for this mystery of our faith is the incarnation. The God of creation took on human flesh and blood in the child of Bethlehem, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, other religions also spoken about gods being human. The pharaohs, for example, of Egypt were considered manifestations of the gods, and Roman emperors were considered gods to be worshipped and feared. But the God revealed in Jesus Christ is not that kind of God. Before Jesus, gods were thought to be above it all, removed from human existence. But then on one very special night 2,000 years ago, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. In Jesus, the Word was made flesh. And God said, "You are not alone. I am with you." God came and lived among us. God was no longer a remote being somewhere out there. Now God became human in Jesus, and not just for those people who actually lived when Jesus walked this earth. Jesus, the Word, is with us as well. For Jesus promised he would never leave us. His Spirit would always be with us. God became flesh and lived among us, not as one to be feared, but as one who came to share life with us and experience all the same things we experience. When Jesus came into the world, humanity's relationship with God was no longer about what humans have to do to earn God's acceptance. It's now about what God has done for us in making us his children. Why would this holy, eternal God want to come to his creation and live as one of the creatures that he created? Well, I don't profess to know the mind of God, but how better would God get to know the plight of his fallen, sinful creation than to live among us and experience what we experience? How better would God's creation get to know its creator than for God to appear to us as one of us, not as some otherworldly, fearsome creature? God as man, God as who in appearance looks like just one of us, eliminates that fear factor. In his book, The Jesus I Never Knew, Philip Yancey says, "In Jesus, God found a way of relating to human beings that did not involve fear." God was no longer some cosmic figure like those pagan gods throwing lightning bolts down on a helpless humanity. God was now one of us, walking, talking, eating, drinking, sleeping, getting tired, experiencing all the things that we experience. Now we only need to look to Jesus to know what God is like. And because of Jesus, God knows what it is to be one of us. The writer of Hebrews affirms this when he writes several things. First of all, in chapter 2, verse 14, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. And in verse 18, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. And in chapter 4, verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. What exactly did Jesus experience that we also experience? Have you ever thought about that? He experienced physical birth, childhood, and family relationships. You know, Scripture tells us that besides having human parents, Jesus had brothers and sisters. So that probably means he dealt with all those family issues that siblings often have to deal with. He experienced community. He grew up in a small village and in a local synagogue. He learned a trade, worked for a living. He experienced hunger and thirst. He grew tired. As the writer of Hebrews said, he was tempted in every way just as we are. And although we don't know of any specific times when Jesus personally experienced illness, he witnessed human suffering in his ministry of healing. And we do know he personally experienced physical suffering on the cross. He experienced those complexities of human relationships, including frustration with the lack of understanding of his family and his disciples. He experienced homelessness. Matthew 8:20 tells us that Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He experienced emotions, sorrow, anger, fear. Recall the anguish he expressed in his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane prior to his crucifixion. Jesus experienced death, the death of his cousin John, John the Baptist, the death of some of his friends, and probably the death of his earthly father, Joseph, and of course, his own death on the cross. Jesus experienced spiritual need, as it evidenced by the many times he went alone to pray. He experienced the criticism of others, of the Jewish leaders, of the people in his own hometown of Nazareth. He experienced betrayal and desertion by his closest friends. He endured derision, violence, and taunting by crowds and Roman soldiers. He also experienced fame, like that day he entered into Jerusalem with the acclaim of the people. He also experienced love, for example, love demonstrated by the woman who anointed his feet. Do not fear were words often spoken by Jesus. No matter what it is we are experiencing, Jesus has experienced it in some way also, either personally or in his observation of the humanity that he came to save. The angel said to the shepherds, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. And what is this good news? What are these good tidings of great joy? The good news is that God is with us in Jesus and in his eternal spirit living within us through faith. Because of the incarnation, because God became flesh and lived among us in Jesus, we know God is a God who understands our weaknesses, our frustrations, our trials, our temptations. The God who is made evident in the life of Jesus, who himself is God, is not some cosmic being somewhere out there above our struggles, looking down on and taking no part in what is going on here, solely desiring to be exalted and worshiped. God revealed in Jesus is God who is with us, God who loves, who yearns for us to be his children, who suffers when we suffer, and who enters into the storms and the conflicts of our lives. So let us come boldly to this gracious God who is full of mercy and grace and truth. Do not fear, for in Jesus, God found a way of relating to human beings that did not involve fear. Paul writes these words in Galatians 4:4, "When the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, 'Abba, Father.' Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir." The incarnation took place in a particular time in history over 2,000 years ago, at the right time, according to Paul. Jesus, who himself is God, physically lived among his fallen creation. And John is very clear to state, the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. John includes us as being among those who have seen God's glory. It was not just John or those other disciples. It was just not those people who back in history saw and lived with Jesus, but also he lives with us. It was not just those people 2,000 years ago who saw his glory and received his grace, but also us. We too are recipients of his grace. We too are witnesses to his glory. Christmas is not just the historical event of a birth in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, but it is present in our confession of faith of God's presence and glory and grace for us. God's grace and truth have become available to us through Jesus. We can trust. We can put our faith in Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. We can find love and one who understands our situation in Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. And as God's children, we are called to live incarnationally, to live in a manner that others see Jesus and God's loving nature in us. John reminds us that Christmas is more than all the pageantry of the Nativity or of Christmas trees and candlelight services. Christmas is the concrete demonstration of God's love for all humanity. Christmas is the concrete expression of God's love for us. Christmas is a reminder that we are to be living examples of God's love in our world today. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. The Word became flesh, Emmanuel, Jesus, the Word who was with God, the Word who is God with us. Joy to the world, the Lord has come, God is with us. Let's stand and sing with joy. Jesus Christ has come to town. God is with us in him. May you have a blessed and merry Christmas. Go in Christ's peace.